What was it like then, going down the pit for the first time?
Oh, I thought it was horrible. To start with, I wasn't used to going down. Then they said, oh, you just swallow. Then it was 12 of us in the cage. And they didn't care where they spat, if it was on your shoulder. Anyway, but you get used to it, because lads were, you know, people were people. I was at pit bottom a year at least.
What was your job at the pit bottom?
Just uncoupling and coupling things and sending them up with coal.
The tubs?
Tubes, yes. When training officer came and he talked to somebody, it was a Polish lad, and he said, do you want to go for training? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, I do. And he said, I didn't ask you. But then he came. He said, I will see you again next week. And next week came and called us both. And we both went on training, on face training.
And where did you do the training?
Vortec.
You actually did the training, yes. in the pit?
At Westboard.
At the Westboard?
Westboard.
What was it like then when you were working on the face?
Oh, all right. All right. There was one who supervised me, of course. He was good. He was all right. And
tell me about your job. What did you have to do when you were on the phone?
Well, we had to do. First was calling, then ripping, then withdrawing. Those were three things. They put it on your lump. 1, 2, 3, and then there was FE. That was fully experienced before training started. Those who were already working down pit, they had that on, and they didn't always. They didn't always know it all, but they had it on. They had that FE on lamp, you know, it was just little writing, FE, fully experienced.
And they put that on your lamp?
No, on my lamp was 1, 2, 3, calling, ripping, and drawing off.
Just explain what those three things mean. What does calling, ripping, and drawing off mean?
They undercut the on face, then they drill the holes, shot fires come, and blow it up, and we chuck it on the belt.
On the conveyor belt?
On conveyor belt, which goes from tailgate to loader gate. In loader gate is big belt, which is taking it far around, and eventually it goes on tubes.
What does ripping mean?
Ripping, that's as face advances in gates, there is only coal taken away, that's about, if it is yard, and then above it is rock. So you had to blow that, you had to make those gates following the coal. That was morning shift, got rid of coal. Afternoon shift or even night shift came and blew the ripping, and so put rings around so that gate advanced after coal.
Did you make many friends when you down the pit?
Yes, yes. Matter of fact, when I was training with rippers, they asked manager because I think one of them was leaving, if I can stay with them, because maybe I was good, I don't know. Because ripping was good, that was before we had what they call average wages.
So you made more money,
yes,
if you did the ripping,
yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Did you get along with the Yorkshire people?
Yes, oh yes. There was one Paul in that gate, you know, where what we were ripping. One Paul, somebody called Bruno Wojtyla. There was Eric, I forgot his second name, and one who was in charge. So there were two Englishmen and Paul and Czech in that gate.
Right, so you were really mixed up group then. Yeah.
Mind you, it was always mixed up in Vortrek, because the best joke what English lads thought about was that they sent delegation, if they can vote today back from Poles, because there were so many, you know, Poles were in my majority.
There were a lot of Polish people there.
Right.
And did you get on with Polish people?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Can you remember how much money you earned then?
I think when I was on that trip in, that was about or over £30.
A week?
Yes. When I was at pit bottom, it was about £9 something.
And did they let you work on your rest day?
I didn't ask. But anyway, I don't think I could, because when I was at the pit bottom, for rest days, Saturdays and Sundays, they wanted somebody who knew. I couldn't go away from pit bottom because I wasn't trained to go away.
What was it like in the pit baths?
Oh, when I started there, they didn't have enough cubicles. But then they extended it, only a year or two after I started. So I got my own locker. I thought it was good, because you went out of pit, you went to smoky side of lockers, took it in, went through the baths, got bath, and got to clean side of the lockers. There was no problem with water. There was no problem of getting soap, because that soap was always available there for very little money. Matter of fact, they had even towels too. You could go to that attendant, whatever they call it, but is it bath attendant and so on? And he just gave you towel for whatever it was. I forgot now the price. And now and then they had even beach towels, those big ones.
And did the men help each other get clean?
Oh yes, that was automatic. Nobody said, may I or can I? Or they just came and you did it, because otherwise you would come home with dirty back. Those cubicles just for one man. So the bloke next door, next cubicle, just said, are you ready or do you want washing? You said yes. So he came and washed you. Then he turned around and you washed him, his back.
You washed each other's back?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And was it like showers?
Yes. Oh, it was, yes. Yes. Showers, plenty of water.
Right, so it wasn't like a big bath that you got
No. It was showers. But of course, when I started at Waterlake, we didn't have overalls provided. That started later. I think it was something what came from Europe. You know, when we entered the European Union, that they started giving us protective clothing, and that was, they gave us back for it. You put the dirty one, I think that was once a week. Then it was clean.
But when you started, you had to take your own clothes.
Yes, yes. Matter of fact, I was sometimes wondering how those men, you know, those old miners, when they came with the Winnebago buckets or whatever they called them.
The what?
You know, those white trousers. David Edge went past their knees. When Mundi started, they always were absolutely spotless. And I thought, well, if wives have to wait, you know, wash them, that muck, there is a lot of work to do.
And what about boots?
Boots? When I started, I think I had one pair of, what do you call them, wooden ones? Clogs. But I didn't start with them. I started with ordinary boots. You could get pair a year without anything. If you needed them sooner, you had to pay £5. Just like knee pads and things like that. It was all in store. To start with, you get a lot allowance from taxman, I think, for clothing. But later on, I think they took it off and everything was provided. I just had one pair of clogs. I didn't like them too much, no.
But a lot of men did wear clogs.
Yes, they did.
And did you use the pit canteen?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, canteen was... That was good as well. They used to say it was better in wartime, because in wartime they said they had kitchen. That was long time ago. But they all had good canteen. All pits I was had good canteens.
Where did you live then?
In lodgings in Leeds.
And when did you come to live in Woodlesford then?
I bought back-to-back house in Leeds at Leicester Place. And my friend, he was from Woodlesford. Jack Illingworth, and his wife, she said, you will kill your wife climbing them steps, you know, back to back, that one room here, one room there. She says, you should get yourself proper house. So, and I am glad I went for this house.
When you first started at Waterhague, you lived in Leeds, yes?
Yes.
How did you get from home to the pit and back again?
On the bus, but we had bus provided, which took us to Waterhague at night. I don't know if it was if you had afternoon shift or so, maybe you had to go on ordinary bus. But on nights, and I was usually working nights, you know, ripping. So there was bus going from bus station to pit, and from pit in the morning to bus station as well.